This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori, broadcasting from Augusta National on the eve of the Masters on this Sunday morning, and making his Masters debut this week, another first-timer, Joe Highsmith, 24 years old from Washington State, winner of the Cognizant Classic. Hey, Joe, welcome to Talkin' Golf.
Hey, Ann, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on Talkin' Golf, and congratulations on such a great season so far.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a kind of roller coaster, but nice to get that win and be teeing it up this week.
Well, I have to say, for a rookie appearance here in the Masters, you've probably played Augusta National more than most, don't you think? I mean, what, nine times you've said you've played it through the years?
Yeah, I would say so, for sure. I mean, outside of my, like, official practice rounds, I've just been twice, but we've played 36 holes every day that we've been there. So I've actually been on the golf course quite a bit. Pretty much any time I'm able to get on property and fortunate enough to play the course, I'm going to play as many holes as I possibly can with daylight. And so I've tried to kind of max out my Augusta experience and been around the course a lot, and I think it's been good, because every single time I've played it, it's played a lot different than the other time, with different pins, different winds, different firmness, and all that stuff. So I kind of was figuring the more I could get out around there, the better. But
definitely, I mean, you learn something new each time you play it. I mean, and the conditions vary. I mean, it's so great. The more you play it, coming into this week, obviously, the better. And so what's your schedule this week as far as practice goes?
Yeah, so I think on Monday, I'm supposed to play with Fred Couples, and I'm not really sure totally the exact plans yet, but we're going to go out there and play some golf. That was kind of a lifelong dream of mine to play in the Masters with him. Obviously, it's the only tournament that he and I could tee it up together in, and I was just hoping over the last few years that he would continue playing, and obviously I had to do my part and get into the tournament, but that'll be pretty sweet to kind of have that surreal experience. And then Tuesday, I think, you know, probably maybe just play nine and try to make sure that I'm rested, because I mean, it's a big walk out there. So a couple of those times I've gone around 36, I've been pretty sore the following day. So I'm trying to kind of map out my week so I'm still rested and energized come, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But yeah, I think, and then I'm going to do the par three and have my brother caddy on Wednesday and kind of have a nice little fun, relaxing day before the show gets on the road. But
So Freddie Couples, how did you connect with Freddie to play in tomorrow's practice round?
Yeah, so I've actually known Fred for a long time. We met at the President's Cup in 2017. I was on the junior team, and he was one of the assistant captains, I think. And we obviously have a decent amount of mutual connections from just both being from Seattle, and then he spends a lot of time down in that PGA West La Quinta area, so we kind of know some of the same people. And we ended up playing golf for the first time when I was like 17 years old, a little bit after that President's Cup. And then I think the relationship kind of just started from there, and I continued to get the invite back to golf, so that was a win for me. And then, yeah, I mean, we've played quite a bit of golf over the years, and he always stays in touch whenever I'm playing well or whatever. He'll send me a text and whatnot, and it's been pretty cool to get to know him. And yeah, so really looking forward to it. I mean, yeah, every time we've played, I'm always kind of like, once I get in the Masters, we got to play a practice round and all that. So I think we're gonna make it happen. And yeah, it's super super surreal, honestly.
I can't think of somebody more experienced, right? I mean, he's making his 40th Masters start and obviously won it back in 92. I mean, what do you think you're gonna learn from him when you go out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think more than anything, it'll just be really fun to get to, because I feel like at this point, I feel like I really do know him pretty well. So it'll be really cool to just get that experience in with him. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of, words of wisdom and pointers that he can give me for the week. And obviously, I mean, he's won the tournament, but he's also had one of the most incredible careers at the Masters. There's probably not a guy out there playing that, has more knowledge than he does about that place and experience and all that. So, hopefully there's some good things to be learned. But regardless, I mean, just to get to walk down Augusta National with him will be pretty special. I mean, he's been a great mentor. Even we were texting the night before Cognizant, and I was kind of just like, asking him if he's got anything for me. And he gave me some pretty good words of wisdom, and I felt like I was able to apply those and go out there and play really well and get my first win, which was super cool. And then, this week's just going to be a dream getting out, walking around Augusta National with him. So it's going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, he's in second place behind Jack Nicklaus in total cuts made with 31 cuts. And this will be his 40th Masters. So, man, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to watch that practice round for sure tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, now how is your game as a lefty suited for Augusta National, right? They say Augusta National favors a draw, but you have to really be proficient to hit both shapes, the fade and the draw.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I would say, generally speaking, it sets up for, a right-handed draw or a left-handed cut. And I usually like to cut my driver off the tee. And but I mean, like you said, I mean, there's not one shot that you need at Augusta. I mean, you kind of need every shot, like even just hole by hole, like 10. You obviously have to cut it, for me as a lefty, right to left off the tee, but then coming into the green, you'd much rather have a shot that was working the other way to kind of hold that green that's pitched so far right to left. And I mean, after now playing Augusta quite a few times, I've kind of realized that you have to be pretty good everywhere. It doesn't really favor, a certain play or a certain playing style. It's just like you got to putt great, you have to short game it really well, you got to be really precise with your irons, and you have to drive it in play. I mean, some of those tee balls, like I think seven's one of the most underrated holes out there, but that tee shot is so tight. And if you're in the trees, there's literally no escaping. It's not like, I mean, I grew up obviously in Washington and played a lot of tree-lined golf, but you could always kind of work your way out of the trees and get something up by the green and get it up and down. But that's just one whole example where it's like, if you don't hit that tee ball in play, you're pretty much fighting for a five at that point. But if you can drive it straight, it can almost be a birdie hole. And there's a lot of that out there, I've realized. Like 14 is, kind of similar. If you got to kind of hug the left, but if you hit in the left trees, you're going to have no shot. And then having some brutal up and down just to try and save your four. But if you hit in the fairway, you can give yourself a birdie look. So it's like, the tee balls, I think, are really crucial, but you're certainly not done once you hit in the fairway. I mean, there's so much going on around the greens, and you got to really know what you're doing and where you're trying to hit it coming in and where are the best places to putt from and all that. So it's like, it's just a really demanding golf course, kind of top to bottom. So just hoping that I can, be in a good focused state of mind and hopefully have my game kind of firing on all cylinders once the tournament starts.
Oh, definitely. Augusta National will test every shot in the book for sure. And I'm wondering, as a lefty, I mean, have you looked back on Bubba Watson's two Masters win, especially, that hook shot from the 10th out of the pine straw in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Was it 2012? I mean, have you watched that? And Phil Mickelson's three Masters wins? Do you watch these former Masters champions who are left-handers, who are left-handers?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've probably watched, certainly since I've been interested in the game and kind of been focused and following golf since I was probably 8 or 9 years old. I mean, I've watched every single Masters Sunday start to finish without missing one, and then I still go back. It's really cool that they have all the kind of past final round broadcasts on their YouTube channel. And so I've gone through there, and like just the other day, I was watching the 78 Masters. And obviously, I mean, there's not much to be learned there. The golf course was so much different 40 years ago or 50 years ago. But, watching Bubba play and kind of how he does things. Obviously, watched a lot of Tiger around there and Phil. And I feel like Phil and I probably, I think. I'm not going to say I have a similar game to Phil Mickelson, but obviously he's a little less kind of crazy than Bubba. Bubba hits it a lot farther than I do, and he works the ball probably a lot more than I do. But I feel like I try to, watching Phil, I think I can relate to that a little bit more in the way that he plays. And, I've tried to kind of watch just where these guys hit the ball and maybe try to pick up some things on the shots they hit around the greens and all that. But I think for the most part, it's kind of like, if I can really focus on my stuff and just try to play my game and be focused on what I'm doing, I think that I'll be able to have some success out there. But obviously, there's a lot of stuff to be learned from all the legends that have kind of gone before me. But I think more than anything, it's like I just need to be able to be really focused and clear on what I'm trying to do once the tournament starts, and that'll just give me the best chance to play well versus maybe trying to do too much or try to hit certain shots that I've seen guys hit that maybe I'm not super comfortable with. It's kind of like if I can just stay kind of focused on my own stuff and make sure that I'm executing my shots and playing my game out there, I think I can do all right. But hoping to just handle the nerves relatively well. I can't imagine what I'm going to be feeling on that first tee, but it'll be pretty fun regardless of how it goes.
Have you ever considered asking Phil to play a practice round with you?
I don't really know Phil. I've been fortunate enough. I played golf with him a couple times actually a few months ago, and at least I do, have that intro with him. So I don't know if I'll ask him for a practice round because I'm sure that he'll be pretty busy that week. But if the timing worked out, that'd be awesome. I feel like we had a good time when we played, and looking forward to seeing him out there and hopefully just saying hello and whatnot. But I mean, that'd be really cool. Obviously, the one for me is going to be Fred, and then kind of whatever I get outside of that'll be a bonus. But yeah, maybe I'll try my best to pick Phil's brain a little bit. Or I mean, even Jose Maria Olazabal is one of my favorite players ever, and we went and watched him at a practice round at Augusta when I was at Pepperdine a few years back. And Derek Hitchener, my roommate, and I were sitting behind seven, and he was hitting these bunker shots from the back bunker, and it was like the most impressive thing we'd ever seen. He was like spinning them on this downslope, and it was just like the purest, just like nipped bunker shots you've ever seen. And it was such a clinic. And so we went out and we were like, dude, this guy is unreal. And so we followed him for the rest of his practice round and then went back to the chipping area and watched him hit bunker shots for like an hour. And that was pretty sweet. So hopefully, I mean, maybe if it works out at some point, I'll try to get to know him and maybe ask him a few questions or whatnot. I mean, he's had an incredible career at Augusta as well. So you know, it's really cool to just play in a tournament like this where you can play with these just legendary champions from 20, 30 years ago that are still teeing it up and have just such a wealth of knowledge. So it's just going to be such an incredible week.
Can you see yourself, Joe Highsmith, hoisting the trophy at the end of the week?
Man, I mean, that, of course, I want to say yes. I mean, I think for it being my first Masters, I think it would take a lot of really, really good stuff for me to, you know, get in contention and end up having a chance to win. But I feel like, you know, I have so much respect for Augusta National and how it operates and the tournament and the history and everything that I do think that, you know, I'm going to bring, at a minimum, I'll bring 100% to every single shot and absolutely, if I don't play well, it won't be for lack of effort. But I mean, I've kind of thought it through a little bit and I feel like the course does set up pretty well for me. I mean, I really like fast greens and slopey greens, and I've generally been putting pretty well over the last few months. And, you know, if I can get my ball striking and short game in a good place, I really think that I could play well there. I don't want to say that I feel like I could win necessarily, but I do think that it's not totally out of the question if I can do some really, really good stuff. But I think a lot of it's going to be more of managing just Masters pressure and nerves and all that kind of stuff more than it will be the golf. But yeah, I mean, I think if I went out there and played four really, really good rounds of golf that I could see myself with a chance. But, you know, I think a lot of guys, it always takes a few goes around that place to start getting a little more comfortable and, you know, giving yourself chances to win. But, you know, hopefully it all goes well. And I find myself in the mix on Sunday and can try to execute some special things. But yeah, for my rookie appearance, I mean, I don't know. It seems like a long shot to win, but I'm not saying it's out of the question.
Go for it, Joe Highsmith. You have all the right stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. I love your insight, and I can't wait to watch you start Thursday. And I'm coming out tomorrow to watch that practice round with you and Freddie Couples for sure.
Yeah, that sounds great, Ann. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for being on Talking Golf.
I love his Jose Maria Olazabal story, just watching the genius hitting those bunker shots. And Olazabal was actually here yesterday rooting on the Augusta National Women's AM champ from Spain, Carla Bernat Escadu. All right, in other golf news, at the Valero Texas Open, Brian Harman will take a 3-shot lead over Andrew Novak into this afternoon's final round. He shot even par with high winds and chilly temperatures making conditions difficult. At the LPGA T-Mobile Match Play in Vegas, Celine Boutier and Madeline Sagstrom will resume their quarterfinal.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Match at 7 a.m. Pacific time this morning. They are tied playing the 18th. My thanks to Rafael Campos, Joe Highsmith, Ryan Busher in the studio.